holding on Pei Gimel Amud Beis, the second line from the bottom. We learned yesterday a braisa that listed a whole bunch of people that are chayav misa b'dei shamayim, many of them having to do with some of them having to do with truma and tevel and things like that, and a number of them having to do with the avoida in the Beis Hamikdash. So now the braisa had continued avol oral. So we said, however, on the other hand, you have a few of them where the avoida they do is possible. And they would even get malchus for it, but there's no missus based in aval oril, a person who doesn't have a bris milah, whereas we talked about yesterday, he doesn't have bris milah because of no fault of his own, because his brother has died because of it, and he can't have a bris milah yet. Nevertheless, he still can't do the avoida in the mismikdash. Oinin, a person whose close relative passed away that day and hasn't been buried yet, he's also to do the avoida. Yoshiv, or when he's sitting and does the avoida. So all of those, Baz Hora, so we say that all of those are, there's a warning, there's a lav in doing them, but a person is not chayiv misa b'dei shamayim for those. So, let's go through them. Oro Manolon, where do we know about an oro that his avoida is posel, but nevertheless that he's not chayiv misa? The answer is, Omer Rav Chista, Dovazem, Mitoras Moshe Rabbeinu, Loi Lamadnu. We don't see this clearly. It's not explicitly written in the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Ad Shebo Yechezkel ben Buzi v'lim Donu, until Yechezkel, the Navi, comes along and tells us. Now, as the Gemara points out, we learned this earlier in the Masechta, the Gemara points out in a few other places in Shas, obviously Yechezkel can't come up with new halachas. Nobody after Moshe Rabbeinu can do that. Based on Nevuah, it means that it was part of Torah Shabbat Peh. It was halacha Moshe Misinai, and then Yechezkel came and wrote it in a pasuk. So he says, Kol ben Necher, any stranger, now Ben Necher on the face of it might mean a goy, but here actually the Gemara explains, here and in other places, that actually it means shenisnaklu maisav la'ovav shavah shamayim, that he's acting like a stranger towards Hashem, namely that he worshipped Avodah Zarah. So he's possible for the Avodah. Erel Lev, where he's uncircumcised of heart, Rashi in a few places in Shas points out, points out that the word, basic meaning of the word Oral, is closed up and blocked off. So here, his heart is blocked from Hashem because he worshipped Avodah Zarah. The Erel Bosser, or where he has a physical Orla, where again, if he deliberately refused to get a bris, then he would also be a mummer. He'd be in the same category of erel lev. So erel basa means he has nothing against bris milah, but he can't physically do it because of the danger. So both of those, Yechezkel says lo yovei amikdashi l'shoraseni, he should not come to my base mikdash to serve me. It doesn't actually say l'shoraseni in the pasuk, but in any case, the point is that Yechezkel is clearly saying that both of those types are posel are barred from doing the avoida. Since he's saying they're not allowed to, then therefore that constitutes a lav. So whether they'd get malchus for it, maybe not, because it doesn't say, the Yad Ramah points out, it doesn't say in Chumash about that it would be osur, so you wouldn't necessarily get malchus for it. Other Rishonim disagree and say that maybe, and then say that he would. So the Rambam, when he mentions it, says that Chilul Avodosei V'loike, and he does get Malchus, and then the Kesef Mishnah, in fact, explains, unlike the Yad Ramah, the Yad Ramah is saying he can't get Malchus because we only have the din it written in Sefer Yechezkel, and he can't get Malchus based on that. On the other hand, the Rambam says that he does get Malchus, and then the Kesef Mishnah explains, since in various places, the Gemara mentions it was a halachal Moshe Misinai, just that it's first written down by Yechezkel, then nothing wrong with giving him malchus for it. In any case, but we don't have a source in any of those places that he should be chayiv misa. So therefore, he's not. Okay. Oinin Minolon, what about an oinin? Where do we know that he's possible to do the avoida and then gets malchus if he does? So dichtiv, the pasuk says, When the pasuk says about a kohen gadol, or min hamikdash lo yetzei, the pasuk says that he should not go out of the mikdash. So in general, this is an isser on any, so in general, it's an isser on a kohen to leave the Beis Hamikdash during the time of the Avodah, but there actually what it's saying is that a kohen gadol, even if his close relatives pass away, previously the pasuk has mentioned that he doesn't become tamei even for his close relatives. So then the pasuk continues. I mean, a mikdash lo yetze, he should not leave the Beis Hamikdash, implying as kohen gadol shouldn't leave the Beis Hamikdash under such circumstances when his relative passed away. That he should not desecrate the mikdash of Hashem. So the pasuk really means two different things on two different levels. On one level, it means that in general, a kohen is not allowed to leave the Beis Hamikdash during the time of the avodah. Actually, for that we have other pasukim for that. But in any case, what we learn from it in context of that pasuk, since it's talking about the kohen gadol's close relatives passing away and saying that he doesn't become tamei for them, so it's saying he should not go out of the Beis Hamikdash. The lo yichalal, and you know, doesn't mean that he shouldn't desecrate. It means he will not desecrate. As mikdash alikav, the mikdash of Hashem. Meaning, if the kohen gadol does not go out and doesn't stop doing the avodah when his relatives pass away, then he's not mechalal the bis mikdash and the avodah. So the implication is acher, a different kohen, a kohen hedyot, shelo yotze, who does not go out under those circumstances. Chilol has in fact desecrated the avodah. So that means that he's also to do. So he's also to do the avodah. However, since it doesn't mention misa over there, then there's no misa basin. There's no misa b'dishamayim for it. We find in Parshas Shmini when Nadav and Avihu passed away, you have that kind of thing. Moshe tells them that today, for today only, all of you, Elazar and Isamar included, are on the level of a kohen gadol, and therefore none of you should interrupt the avodah because of the avelus for Nadav and Avihu. Instead, everybody else will mourn for them. Then you have further on that even a kohen gadol in that situation of an onan is not allowed to eat the korbanos, and that was the whole argument between Moshe and Aaron over when they burnt one of the korbanos instead of eating it. Where according to one explanation in Rashi, which ultimately comes from the Gemara and Zvachim, the problem was because they were all oinin in, and Aaron explains to Moshe that there's a difference to the Kodesh Shah, the one-time korbanos of the Miluim and of the Nesiim, those we can eat even under these circumstances, but not the korban of Rosh Chodesh, which is going to be every Rosh Chodesh from now on. The point is, we see from that there you have a real life example where the kohen gadol, and in that case the kohen medyotim, because temporarily they were on the level of a kohen gadol, continue to do the avodah even though they're oinanim and they're not mechalal it, but a regular kohen under those circumstances would be mechalal the avodah if he did it. So therefore, he's also to do it. Ada asks Rava, so you're telling me that he is mechalal, but that there's no misa b'dei shemayim. Why not? V'nelef chilul chilul mitruma. Why don't we learn Agzeda Shavan, the word chilul from truma? We learned yesterday a couple of times that we have Agzeda Shavan on the word by truma. It says, umesu by ki chaluluhu. By certain other things, it also says the word yichalalu, v'lo yichalalu as kodshe b'nei Yisrael, and other such phrases like that. And from that, we learned, for example, we learned from that a person eats tevel, then he's chayim misa b'nei shemayim. We had other things, so by the same token, here where it says v'lo yichalalu, here where it says that he shouldn't leave, that the kohen gadol shouldn't leave, and when he doesn't leave, v'lo yichalalu, he will not desecrate the Beis Hamikdash. Again, implying that any other kohen doesn't leave at that time, doesn't stop the avodah and leave because he's an oinin, is going to be mechalal. Well, then we should learn a gzeira shava from that just like by turma, if he eats it when he's tomei, he's chayim misa b'dei shemayim. So also now, if he does the avodah as an oinin, mal halam b'misa, afkan b'misa, and then we should learn by this gzeira shava that just by turma that he eats when he's tomei, he's chayim misa. So also when he does the avodah as an oinin, he's chayim misa. So the answer is no. Miksi baby gufe. No, because it doesn't say by the actual issue itself of doing the avodah by in a state of aninus. Miklolakasi. It's more that we learn it from the general rule, in other words, that we're saying because we're learning it by implication. Because the Torah says about a kohen gadol that he can do the avodah even when he's an oinen and he's not mechalal it, from that we're deducing that it means that a regular kohen who does the avodah under such circumstances would be mechalal. So that's not if it's said explicitly in the Torah, and Oinen should not do the avoda, and if he does, he's mechalal. Then yes, you could learn a zera shava from that. But Rava is saying here it's mechalal kalsi. Here it's you're deducing it from a more general statement. So therefore, have a davar abom in a klal. So therefore, it's something that we learn by a general statement like that, and then we learn an implication from that. The whole davar abom in a klal ain't done a nois of gzeira shava. We can't use that as one end of gzeira shava. So the fact that it says that the Kohen Gadol won't be mechalal under those circumstances, implying that a regular Kohen would, that's not a basis for gzeira shava. Now we did have when we learned before, we learned that we had a pasuk that said the nozru, we learned yesterday about a kohen who's tameh and does the avoda, where we learned the pasuk that said the nozru mikodshim bnei Yisrael, they should stay away from the kodshim of the Jewish people, the lo yichavlu, and they will not be mechalal, implying that if they don't stay away, if they do the avoda when they're tameh, then they're mechalal, and there we learned gzeira shava. So Tosfos discusses over here, and the Orach HaNer explains further that the point is, there we weren't so much learning from the word chilul, there we were saying that because the pasuk is saying that when they're tamei, then they need to stay away from the kodshim, they need to not do the avoda. So therefore that's not considered learning from implication, like we're saying over here, because they were saying that when he's tamei, he needs to stay away from doing the avoda, because if he does, then he'll be mechalal. So, as opposed to by a ninus over here, the lo yichalal is not talking about this. In other words, there, the v'yinozru and the lo yichalal is talking about the same person. He, when he's tomei, should not do the avoda, because he, when he's tomei, if he does, will be mechalal the avoda. So that's not, by implication, that is. It is more clear, it is more explicit, therefore we can use that for gzeira shava, as opposed to over here, you're trying to deduce from the kohen gadol to the kohen hediot, then you can't do that. What?
Is he mechalel nibemezid, or is also mechalel?
Doesn't matter. All these cases we're talking about, the avoda is possible whether it was b'shoigeg or b'mezid. The difference is, in the Mishnah we had said that if the kohen was tomei, did the avoda when he's tomei and it's b'mezid, then the other kohen go and beat him up and kill him. But obviously that's not going to be if he's shoigeg. But
That's not the question. Whether the avoda is he when it's b'shogeg, is he chayiv misa or he's not chayiv misa?
Well, it's misa b'dei shemayim. It's up to Hashem. Hashem will know the truth whether he's shogeg or not, right? Basically, no. I mean, in general, there's no punishment for b'shogeg, but once we're talking about punishments b'dei shemayim, then it's really up to Hashem to determine what his actual motivation was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we can't learn such a gzeira shava, so therefore we're left with that a kohen who's an oinen and does the avoda is mechalal, if the avoda that he did is possible. However, he's not getting, if it was b'mezid, he's getting malchus for it. But if he does it b'shoigig, then he's either way b'shoigig or b'mezid, he's mechalalet. But there's no mitzvah b'dei shemayim. So actually here again the Yad Ramah says that since the Braisa has put them together, the oral and the oinin, and according to him the oral is not getting malchus, and he says the oinin is not getting malchus either. Not everyone agrees to that. To the Rambam we just said that the oral does get malchus, so according to him there's no reason that the oinin wouldn't get malchus as well. I think according to the Rambam, the Oinen doesn't necessarily get Malkus for it either, but for a different reason, because basically we're learning it by implication. We're learning V'lo Yechalal as Mikta Shalekov, which is, we're saying there's not a lav that he's not Mechalal, it's a statement of fact that he is not Mechalal, implying a regular Kohen word, that's not necessarily a basis to give him Malkus for it. Next, Yoshev Menola, and how do we know that a Kohen sits and does the avoda that he's also to do that? But again, that there's no misa involved. Omar Rava, Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Kra, because the pasuk says Hashem has chosen him, the Kohen, from among all your Shvatim, Lamod Lashores, to stand and serve before Hashem. So Lamida Bachata Veloy Yeshiva. So we learn from that that Hashem is saying, I chose him for standing and for standing to do the Avodah and not for sitting. So Rashi explains then that if he's sitting, then in effect the Pasuk is implying that he's not chosen, meaning that basically then he's like a Zor. And a Zor can't do the Avodah. Now, Rashi then in turn brings, now the Gemara in Zvachim asks on that, wait a minute, we learned yesterday that a Zor does the Avodah, he's Chayiv Misa B'dei Shemayim. If you're going to tell me when he's sitting he's considered like a Zor, then why shouldn't he be Chayiv Misa B'dei Shemayim? And the answer is, the Gemara explains over there because you have a few different cases where the Torah clearly says that he's Chayiv Misa, whereas we learned yesterday, Zor, he didn't wash his hands and feet, and he drank wine. This is Shloisha Ksuv Maborim Ka'echad, three places where it says we're going in the Avodah, that he's Chayiv Misa B'dei Shemayim, and therefore we have to say that it's only those, we can't Shloisha Ksuv Maborim Ka'echad, Shnei Ksuv Maborim Ka'echad even, according to most opinions, Ein Malamden, we can't learn from them to others. So therefore, even though, yes, we would say that he's considered like a Zor, nevertheless, that's not enough to be Mechayiv him Misa. That's according to Rashi. The Ran rather explains that here in Zvachim is not saying that he's like a Zor. It just means, in other words, that he's doing the Avodah wrongly. He's not literally like a Zor. In other words, like we learned yesterday, for example, a Kohen who's not wearing the Bigdei Kohuna is considered like a Zor. And a Zor does the Avodah, is Chayiv Misa. Here we're not saying, says the Ran, unlike Rashi, we're not saying that literally he becomes like a Zor because he's sitting. We just mean that he's not doing the Avodah. We just mean he's not doing the Avodah properly. She'enu min amuvcher, the Ran says, that he's not doing the Avodah in the proper way. Therefore, that's not something that would be Mechayiv him Misa. And then the Yad Ramah also talks along those lines and says that the Gemara in Zvachim never meant to be that he's like a Zor. If he was, then he would be Chayiv Misa. So it just means, in other words, that the point is that just like a Zor's Avodah is possible, so the Avodah sitting is possible. But nothing to say that he becomes a Zor as a result of sitting. In any case, but there we see, in other words, he has to stand. By the way, you have in Gemara Zvachim, it mentions another point as well. Not only, first of all, in many places in Halacha, we consider leaning to also be like sitting. The same way, for example, Shemini Esrei, you're not supposed to be leaning on anything. The same way, the Kohen can't be leaning on anything. In Zvachim, it also mentions he can't be standing on anything else. He has to be standing on the actual ground, not on a keli, not on somebody else's feet, etc. In any case, the point is, so from all of that, we learn that he's also to do the Avodah standing, just sitting, that is. However, since we're learning it only from, we're learning it only by implication from an essay, from Lamed Lashardis, and therefore there's no Malchus for it. So that goes through all the cases in the Mishnah, in the Braisa. Now, then the Braisa continued, Bal Mum. If a Kohen Bal Mum does the Avodah, then we had a Machloikas. So far, the Braisa had been according to everybody. But now, Bal Mum, Rebbe Omer B'Misa, Bacham Omer B'Azhara. Rebbe had said that Bal Mum does the Avodah, he's Chayiv Misa B'Dei Shemayim. Bacham said there's only a warning, meaning that he'll be getting Malchus for it. So what's the machlokas? My time at the Rebbe. Dichtiv, the pasuk says about a bal mum. Achal paroiches lo yovei v'gomer. The pasuk says that he should not come to the paroiches and do the avodah. And then the pasuk finishes off. It says v'lo yechavalas mikdashi v'yalav chilul chilul mitruma. So again, we have the gzeira shava from the word chilul that we've talked about throughout the sugya from truma u'meisa boi ki yechavalu malahalam b'misa afkan b'misa. So Rebbe says the same way as by truma koyin whose tome eats truma that's tahor is chay. The same way, from the word v'lo yichalal, as mikdashi, we're going to learn that the Baal Mum is chayiv misa as well. So what are the Chachamim answer back to that? We'll explain soon. But first, the question is, again, like we learned yesterday, we have also by Noiser, where it says Chilol, by Noiser, Kiyas Kodesh Hashem Chilol, and we asked several times, why is it we're not learning these things from Noiser, and therefore there should be Kodesh? So here you have the same question. V'nelech Chilol Chilol mi Noiser, why is Rebbe not learning the Chilol by a Baal Mum, by Zer Shava from Noiser, and say, Ma lahalan b'kores, afkan b'kores, that a Baal Mum does the avoda, you should be chayav kores. And the answer is, no, mistabrim, like we did yesterday, mistabrim, a truma, havalei lemelav, it's more logical to learn from truma, shekhen psul haguf, mipsul haguf, because in both cases, you're talking about a psul in his body. Of koyen who's tome, his body is tome, and therefore he can't, and therefore he can't eat truma. A Baal Mum, it has a defect in his body that prevents him from doing the avoda. So it's more logical to learn that rather than noiser, where the psul is in the food, is in the korban. So the Gemara says, Adrama mi noiser havelei lemelav. On the contrary, we should argue that we should learn from noiser, shekein, because in fact we have many similarities between a Baal Mum doing the avoda and noiser. And like we learned yesterday, a lot of times we find that the number of similarities outweighs anything else. Shekein Kodesh. First of all, both of them involve Kodshim, as opposed to Truma is holy, but it's not on the level of Kodshim. Pnim. Both of them have to do with the Avoda in the Bais Hamikdash. Pigul. Both of them have to do with Korbanos, where the concept of Pigul applies, as opposed to Truma. Pigul is not relevant to it. The Noiser. And by both of them, you have the concept of Noiser, which again only applies to Korbanos, not to Truma. So you have many similarities between a Baal Mum doing the avoda and a Koyan who's Tomei eating and a Koyan who's Tomei doing, so you have many similarities between a Baal Mum doing the avoda and eating Noiser. And therefore, we should say, just like by Noiser, the Pasuk says, Ki es Kodesh Hashem Chilol, and he gets Kores. The same way we should learn by Xeder Shava that the Baal Mum does the avoda and he gets Kores. So the Gemara says, yes, so the Gemara implicitly says, you're right, we can't, if we were going to learn that way from the Gzeder Shava, then you're right, we would have to learn from Noiser rather than from a Tomei who ate Truma. Elami Tomei Sheshimish Gomar, rather we're going to say that Rebbe is going to learn for the Gzeder Shava from the Tomei who did the Avoda in the Bais Hamikdash. Whereas we learned yesterday, that's one of the ones, who's Chayav Misa B'Dei Shemayim. So therefore, so that's fine. P'sul HaGuf M'P'sul HaGuf. So we have then in both cases it's his body that's possible with truma or with a mum respectively, and you have all the similarities that we said before, Kodesh, Pnim, Pigul, Venoiser. And you have, in both cases, we're talking Kodshim, as opposed to Truma. Both of them are in the Bais Hamikdash. Both of them are involving Korbanos, where there's Pigul and there's Noiser. Me, Kodesh, Pnim, Pigul, Venoiser. So we're going to learn from the Koyan, who's Tomei, who did the Avoda, rather than, you're right, if we were going to learn straight from Truma, then it's more logical to learn from Noiser. But instead, we're going to say we learn from the Koyan, who's Tomei, who does the Avoda, where that we established yesterday, we had a logical reason to say that that's we learned from a Kohen who's Tomei who ate Truma. Ultimately, we said because there were many reasons to compare it to Noiser, the point was that Yechaleluhu and Yechalelu are both in plural form, and that outweighs the fact that's better than the fact that by Noiser it says Chilol in the singular, and therefore, so here we have, so if we're learning from a Koyan who's Tomei, who does the Avoda, not only do we have, they both have all these similarities, Kodesh, Pnim, Pigul, Noiser. So therefore, more logically, we're going to learn it that way, and therefore that's how the Gzeder Shava is going to be. Now, here you have the point as well, though. You do have the point about Yochid versus Rabim. The Tosfos brings up that point, where by the Baal Mum, it says v'lo yichalalu in the plural, v'lo yichalal in the singular, and by noiser it also says ki es kodesh Hashem chilo in the singular. And based on the earlier Gemara, we should say that outweighs anything else, and therefore that we should learn it that way. So Tosva says, after all, though, the point is, here we're talking now, when it came to a Kohen who was eating truma when he was Tomei, there was psul haguf, there was the fact that it's his body that's posel because of truma, as opposed to by Noso, it's the Korban that's Tomei. On the other hand, there we weren't talking of psul haguf as far as the Avoida. Here we're talking about psul haguf of Avoida, namely the Balmum can't do the Avoida, and neither can the Tomei do the Avoida, so therefore that outweighs anything else, says Tosfos, and therefore we're going to ignore the fact, we're going to ignore the singular versus plural expression in the Pasuk, because in other words, the idea is, when it comes to Truma, versus the Avoida, then we can say that, and then on the other hand, should we learn from Truma, or should we learn from Noiser, then we can say, when it comes to a matter of Avoida or non-Avoida, then we can say we look at singular versus plural, Yechalalu, Yechalalu, versus Chilol, which is in the singular. But here we were talking about that both of them involves a psula guf of avoida. Then it's more logical to learn one from the other, even if that means learning a singular expression from a plural expression. And therefore, the result is that we don't learn from Noiser. We learn instead. From a Kohen Tomei, we learn from a Kohen Tomei doing the Avoida, and therefore the result is he's Chayiv Misa B'dei Shamayim, just like that case. Okay, that's all according to Rebbe. V'Rabbanan, what are the Chachamim answer back to that? They who said there's no Misa B'dei Shamayim for that, only an Azhara, only a Lav. The answer is true. You have this Gzeira Shava, but on the other hand, Omar Kra. But the pasuk says Umesu. The pasuk says Boy by a Tomei who eats Truma. The pasuk says that Umesu Boy they will die in it when they desecrate it. So the Boy means Boy Veloy B'Mal means Boy Veloy B'Bal Mum. It means it's a mute. And that it means only him, not a Bal Mum. So in other words, the idea is, even if we say, like we just said, according to Rebbe, that we want to learn the Baal Mum from the Kohen Tomei that did the Avoida, the Kohen Tomei who did the Avoida himself is learnt from the Kohen Tomei who ate Truma, and therefore the word boy is a mute, and therefore it means so Tosfos explains, in other words, we're not going to use the word boy to exclude any case of Tomei. Therefore, the various cases we learned about yesterday, the one who's actually completely Tomei, the Tvul Yoim, who still has a degree of Tumah, the Mechusar Kippurim, who also has a degree of Tumah, all of those are still going to be included. We're still going to say that any of them who eat Tumah, there's Misa B'dei Shamayim, and therefore any of them who do the Avodah are also Chayiv Misa B'dei Shamayim. But Baal Mum is a completely different category, therefore the Chachamim say the word boy is excluding that. So they say it's very nice that you could learn a Gzeira Shava from the Kohen Tomei Shishimish, which in turn we're going to learn from the Kohen Tomei who ate Truma, but nevertheless the word boy prevents us from doing that. Okay. Next, we said in the Braisa Hizid B'Me'ila, another case where there's a Machlokas Rebbe and the Chachamim, is where he was mazed as far as Me'ilah. He used something that belongs to Hektish, the mazed. So there also, Rebbe Omer B'Misa V'Chum Omer B'Azhara. There you have the same Machlokas. So Rebbe says, Misa B'Dei Shamayim, the Chum say it's only a warning, it's only a lav. So again, my time at the Rebbe, so why does Rebbe say that he's Misa B'Dei Shamayim? Omer Abahu, same thing, here we have a different Zera Shava. Gomer Chet Mitruma. Rebbe learns a Zera Shava on the word Chet from Truma. Where Tomei eats Truma, it says Valayisu all of Chet, they should not bear a sin because of it, Umesuvoi, and they would die, they'd get Misa B'Dei Shamayim. And by Me'ila it also says V'chota B'Shloga, that a person sins by mistake and uses something of Hekdesh. So Malahalam B'Misa, Afkan B'Misa. So the same way, so in both cases there would be Misa B'Dei Shamayim. Now obviously you're not going to say Misa B'Dei Shamayim wouldn't apply when he actually does Me'ilah B'Shogeg, so therefore, but we would say, in other words, that even though the Pasuk says V'chota B'Shogeg, referring to when he's Shogeg, nevertheless we'd take the word V'chota and we'd use it to mean when he does B'Mezid, that he'd be Chayiv Misa B'Dei Shamayim. The Rabbanan Amri, the Rabbanan say again, you have the same word boy that we said by Trum, by a Kohen who's Tomei, where again, Omakra boy, and from that we learn boy, Veloy B'Me'ila, we learn from that the same way as we just said that we're excluding the Baal Mum on the basis of the word boy from the same things, from that word boy. We also learn that it means only a Kohen Tomei who eats Truma and other things that we can learn directly from it, such as a Kohen Tomei who does the Avodah, they're Chayiv Misa B'Dei Shemayim, but not somebody who does Me'ila B'Mezin. So now Rashi explains the Chachamim do agree that there is, the Chachamim do agree with the fact that there is a Gzeira Shava on the word Chet. From there we learn that there is an Issur to do Me'ila. But they're just saying that based on the word boy, you can't actually say that there's you can't actually say that there's misibidei shemayim in that. Tosfos also discusses a little bit about that. That there is a difference in that regard between different kinds of kodshim, kodshim bedek abayis, which are kedushas domim, where it's only the monetary value of them as kedusha, versus korbanos, which have kedushas and guf. And Tosfos refers to a Gemara in Makkos that we'll get to in a few weeks' time, Be'ez Hashem, that talks about that when a person uses kodshim bedek abayis, he's getting malchus. So Tosfos wonders in that place why, if we're learning from Truma, if we're learning the whole Gzeira Shava from Truma, that there was an issue in the first place, Truma has Kedushas Aguf, why wouldn't it apply only to things that have Kedushas Aguf? And Tosfos discusses that point. In any case, the point is, the Chachamim are saying that the word boy, the miut from the word boy, is teaching us, yes, there is an Azhara, there's a warning not to do that, however, there's no Misibidei Shemayim for it. Okay. Fine. So now let's get back to one of the cases that we had. So now we've gone through the Braisa, we've gone through all the cases in the Braisa where a person is chayiv misibidei shemayim, and all the cases where there's not, where there's only a warning, and the ones where there's machlokas Rebbe and the Chachamim. Now going back to the Mishnah, we said zor shashimish b'mikdash. We said that if a Zor does the Avodah in the Mismikdash, then we had a Machlokas Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah had said that he's Chayiv Chenek, and the Chacham say that he's only Misibidei Shemayim. So, what's the reason for the Machlokas? Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Nemar Kan V'Azor HaKorev Yumos. Here the Pasuk says that a Zor comes close and does the Avodah, then he's put to death. The Nemar Lahalon, you have elsewhere where the Pasuk says, after the whole story with Korach, Kola Korev HaKorev on Mishkan Hashem Yomus. Anybody who comes close, any Zor who comes close to the Mishkan of Hashem is going to die. So therefore, Rabbi Shmuel says, you have a Gzeira Shava. Mala halan bidei shemayim, afkan bidei shemayim. Just like when it says kol akorev akorev, when it says yomus, it means that there's going to be misa bidei shemayim, because that's the context of that pasuk was after the whole story of Korach, after Korach and his people had been swallowed up into the ground, and others of them had been burnt, and then there was a plague, all of which is bidei shemayim. Now the Jewish people came to Moshe with a concern that now, ha'im tamnu v'gvoya, have we stopped dying? Aren't we going to continue dying anytime a person comes a little too close to the Mishkan? And therefore, Hashem responds by saying that yes, the Kohenim and Levim have the job of guarding the Mishkan and preventing people from going where they're not supposed to. So the point is that Kol HaKorev HaKorev on Mishkan Hashem Yomus is referring to Misa B'Dei Shemayim. So Rabbi Shmuel says the same way when it says Azor HaKorev Yomus means Misa B'Dei Shemayim. Rabbi Akiva, so then that would be the Chachamim of our Mishnah who say that there's Misa B'Dei Shemayim for that. Rabbi Akiva, but Rabbi Akiva disagrees and says, no, Nemar Kan V'Azor HaKorev Yomus, the Nemar Lahalon, but you have a different place where it says the word Yomus. Namely, it talks about when a person comes and claims that Hashem told him a nevuah that we should worship Avodah Zarah. So the pasuk says we know immediately that he's a false navi, as we're going to learn at the end of the next parak. A navi, an established navi, comes and tells us that Hashem told him temporarily we should violate a certain mitzvah. Then we listen to him. The classic example being Eliyahu b'Har HaKarmel, where they bring korbanos outside the Beis Mikdash in a time when normally you're not supposed to, but not if this person comes and says that you're to worship Avodah Zarah. There's never any exceptions to that, and if he says that, we know immediately he's a false navi. So the pasuk says, that so-called navi, or that person who claims to have dreamt a dream that were to worship Avodah Zarah, Yumas, is to be put to death. So therefore, Rabbi says, we have a Gzeira Shava from there. Just like that, just like that Novi Sheker is getting skiller, as we will learn in the next parak where we see that from. Afkan, the skiller, the same way. The Zor, who does the Avodah in the Beis Mikdash, where it says Yomos on him, is also getting Misa B'dei Shemayim. Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri says, I agree with the Gzeira Shava from the fourth Navi, but Malahan Bechenek, Afkan Bechenek. But he says just like over there, Chenek, so he'll Chenek. When I said the Rishmol, is it Rabbi Shmol? Then it's not like any of the Tanoim in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah we had, the Tanakama had said, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva had said Chenek, and the Chum said Misa B'dei Shemayim. So yes, so Rabbi Shmuel is like the Chacham in Misa B'dei Shemayim. Rabbi Akiva is saying Skila. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is saying Chenek. So it comes out, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri in the Braisa is saying like Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah. So first, the Mai, so we're going to ask that Rabbi Akiva seems to be contradicting himself. We'll get back to that. But first, the Mai Kamiflagi, what is the underlying Machlokas? So Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva. So first, let's start with what's the machlokas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Why, according to Rabbi Shmuel, would we rather learn from the pasuk about Korach in the aftermath of Korach versus, according to Rabbi Akiva, we're learning from the Navi Sheker? So the machlokas is, Rabbi Akiva Sava done in Yumos mi Yumos. Rabbi Akiva says, we're going to make a Gzeira Shava. Better we should learn from the one word Yumos to the other word Yumos. Vazara Korav Yumos to Anovi Ahu Yumos. As opposed to the pasuk from Parshas Korach, which is Yomos, which is not the same word. Now, when necessary, we'll do a Gzeira Shava from words that are not exactly the same, like in the previous Gemara, we did from Yichalalu to Yichalaluhu. Sometimes even the Gemara will say that we even have a Gzeira Shava from completely different words, Veshava Koyin and Avoa Koyin, but ordinarily a Gzeira Shava, we want the words to be identical. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, if you can learn from an identical word, Yomos, Yumos, then better. We should learn from Yumos rather than from Yomos. Rabbi Shmuel says, done in Hedyet Mehedyet. On the other hand, if we're going to learn a Gzeira Shava, we should learn a case of a regular person, a Zor who goes into the Mishkan, where he's not supposed to. We should learn that from a Hedyet. We should learn that from the, so we should learn the Zor who does the Avodah from the Zor who comes into the Mishkan. So even though it's true, it's different words, but nevertheless, both of them are talking about a hediyot as opposed to a koyin, so therefore more logically to learn from that. The ain done in hediyot mi navi, rather than learning a hediyot from a navi. A navi, after all, is a special person, so therefore so less logical that you should learn from him. So in other words, Rabbi Shmuel is basically saying the word yumas, it's true that we have the identical word yumas by the navi sheker, nevertheless, he is, after all, a navi, and therefore his Yumos is unavailable for this Gzeira Shava, and therefore we have no choice but to learn from the Zor who entered the Mishkan. Rabbi Akiva answers back to that. Kibin Shehidiach, once you're talking this to this person who supposedly was a Navi, but now he's trying to convince people to worship Avod Zara, Eimacha Hedyet Godol Mizeh, there's no greater Hedyet than that. In other words, we're not really talking about a true Navi, but nevertheless, it doesn't really matter whether he was a true Navi beforehand or not. Now that he comes with such a thing, he's either he never was a Navi in the first place, or even if he was, he's stripped of his title of Navi now, therefore you can consider him a Hedyet, and therefore, yes, you can learn of Gzeira Shava from him. Okay, so that explains the machlokas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, whether we'd prefer to learn from the identical word or whether we prefer to learn from the identical case. Okay, but my kumiftegi Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, what's the machlokas Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, where Rabbi Akiva is saying that the Zor who does the Avodah is getting skila, and Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri says chenek? The answer is beklukted to Reb Shimon and Rabbanan, that they're following the machlokas of Reb Shimon and the Rabbanan about a Navi Sheker, like we just described, someone who tries to convince the people to worship Avodah Zarah. What is his punishment? Because again, they're both learning from that Gzeira Shava from him, because they'd both rather learn from the word Yumos, from the identical word Yumos. Well, what punishment does that Navi Sheker get? The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, Novi Shidiach B'Skila, if a Novi tries to mislead people into Avodah Zarah, then he's getting Skila. Reb Shimon Omer B'Chenech, Reb Shimon says that he gets Chenech for reasons that we're going to learn at the end of the next Perek, why they hold that way respectively. Well then, Reb Akiva is following the Chachamim, Reb Yechanan Nuri is following Reb Shimon. And the other way around, because Reb Shimon is a Talmud of Rebbe. But the point is, in other words, that the Svara that we see that Reb Shimon says that he gets that he gets Chenech, Reb Yechanan Nuri is saying the same Svara. And the Svara that the Chachamim are saying against Reb Shimon, that he's Chayiv Schila, Reb Akiva is following that same Svara. Well, the question is, in the Mishnah, in our Mishnah, we said that Reb Akiva says he gets Chenech, whereas you're telling me that Reb Akiva says he gets Schila. And the answer is, we have two opinions within Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, what he held, whether he held like Reb Shimon, and in turn like Rabbi Yechon Manuri, to be that the Navi Sheker, who tries to convince the people to worship Avodah Zarah, is getting Skila, is getting Chenek, versus whether he holds like the other opinion. Masnissin Reb Shimon, Valibud Reb Akiva. So our Mishnah would follow Reb Shimon's opinion, who in turn learned from Reb Akiva, that it would be Chenek. Braisa, whereas the Braisa had said that Reb Akiva said he'd be Chayv Skila, that would be Rabbanan, Valibud Reb Akiva, that would be the Chachamim's version, the other Chachamim, against Reb Shimon, their version of what Reb Akiva said, that according to them he said that he'd be Chayv Skila. This next perek, Elohein HaNachnokin, now we're on Omid Beis, is going to talk about the people who are Chayiv Chenek, the six cases where a person is Chayiv Chenek. Now, if you look in the Mishnayos and you look in the Gemara Yerushalmi, you'll find that this perek that we're about to learn is actually the next perek after this one that we're going to learn in the Gemara is Perek Chelek. Here in the Bavli, it's the last perek of our Masechta. But in the Mishnayos and in the Yerushalmi, it's actually this our perek that we're going to learn now is the last one, and Chelek is the next to last one. So the big machlokas we're showing him what the order is supposed to be. So Rashi at the beginning of the next perek explains that there's a reason for the order that we have it. So our perek is going to talk about the Nechnokin, the people who are Chayiv Chenek, So now, Perek Chelek starts talking, Kol Yisrael, Yeshlan Chelek Olam Abba, and then those who lose their place in Olam Abba. So Rashi explains at the beginning of the next Perek that's the idea. The Mishnah wants to go through all four types of Mises based in, and then after that, it's dealing with the ones that Ein Lam Chelek Olam Abba. So that would be the reason why we have our Perek about the Nechnokin, and only then the Perek about Kol Yisrael, Yeshlan Chelek. And then the Ran disagrees, and he says that no, what it is because at the end of the next Perek, at the end of Perek Chelek, we have the dinim of the Irani Dachas. The Irani Dachas, we learned before, you have two kinds of people, who are chayev hered. You have a murderer, which we discussed in the previous Perek that we just finished, and we have the Irani Dachas. So therefore, it's more logical that Perek should come next. In other words, the idea would be, that we talked about in previous perek that we just finished. We talked about the people who the Ritzeach, and then from that we went on to other dinim regarding the Ritzeach, where Ritzeach gets mixed up with other people, and the case where we put him in the kippah, and then that led us to the discussion about extrajudicial punishments involving the kippah and Kanoim Pogumbay and all that. And then after that, the idea would be that then we're saying. Then after we digress to further talk about having talked about Misa B'Dei Shemayim, then we further digress to talk about punishments B'Dei Shemayim, where a person loses his Chelek L'Olam Haba, and then after that it would get back to Irani Dachas and finish with that, and then afterwards we would have our Perek, having finished all the Neharogin, then it would go to the Nechnokin. So the Ran argues that's the more logical order, and that is in fact how you have it in the Mishnayos and in the Yerushalmi. So there's a lot of discussion about the ins and outs of that, about the order of the two respective parakim. So the Mishnah says, anyway, so here in the Gemara we have it in this order. First we're going to do the ones who are Chayiv Chenek. After that, after we finish with all the ones who are Chayiv all four, Mrs. Basin, Chenek being the last one, then we're going to talk about the people who have no Chelek, and then at the end of them we're going to mention the Irani Dachas, because the Irani Dachas also, the Mishnah says that they have no Chelek, So the order we have it is Nechnokin first. So the Mishnah says, Eloheina Nechnokin, the following people are Chayiv Chenek. Hamak, and then throughout our perek, we're going to go through the details of each one of them. Hamaka of the imay, a person who hits and wounds his father or mother. The goin of nefesh miyisrael, a person who kidnaps a yid. The zaken mamri api beisin, of an elder talmid chacham who disobeys beisin. Each of these, again, we're going to go in detail through the perek and explain the details and the details that happen with them. The navi asheker, a false navi. And a person who gives nevuah in the name of Avodah Zarah. So a navi sheker would just mean that he gives some other nevuah that turns out to be false, as we're going to learn later on in the parak. A true navi, everything that he says that's going to happen for good is going to come true. So therefore, so if he says a nevuah and it doesn't come true, then we know that he's a navi sheker. A navi b'shem b'masnab b'shem avodas kachavim is something else. He says nevuah in the name of avodas zara. Even if it comes true, then nevertheless we know that he's a navi. That he's a false navi, and he's also chayev, and he's also chayev chenek. And the next one is v'abal eshesish. Then you have a man is mizana with an eshesish. So as we learned extensively earlier in the Masechta, there are cases where there's sfila, which is a naira marasa. There's cases where there's sreifa, certain cases where she's a bas koyin, where we had a three-way machlokas, what exactly is the case where she's chayiv sreifa. And then you have, in all other cases, is chenek. Even with the bas koyin, actually, even with the bas koyin, as the Mishnah is now going to go on to say, then he's still chayv chenek regardless. The zomim bebas koyin uboyala, the edim zomim against the bas koyin, who come and say that she was mizana, when it turns out that they're edim zomim, they're not getting sreifa, they're getting chenek uboyala, and the boyala himself of a bas koyin is getting chenek in cases where there wouldn't be skila. The general rule is that whatever misa applies to one person in arayas applies to the other one as well. Whether all the arayas of close relatives, ishish, all the other ones, usually assuming they're both mazid, then the punishment that applies to one applies to the other. But by the bas koyin specifically, because the pasuk says. She is burnt in fire. So we learn from that it's a miut, that it means that only she gets burned, not the boil. So therefore, so if it turns out to be true that there was nus over here, then in the cases where she's getting sreifa, then based on that miut, the boil is getting chenek, and in turn, the Edim Zimmerman, we learn by another pasuk that we get the punishment that was meant for him rather than for her, because it says, Vasis from Lakasha Zomim, Lasis La'ochiv. So therefore, so that's why the Zimmerman and Veskoy and the boiler are getting chenek, even in the cases where she herself gets sreifa. Okay, so let's start going through. The Gemara says, Maka over the Imam in Nolan. Where do we know? Where's the Pasuk in the Torah that a person gets chenek for hitting and wounding his either of his parents? Dichtir, Maka over the Imam, most Yomas. The Pasuk says, anyone who strikes his father or his mother is to be put to death. And it doesn't say the type of punishment. And as we have the general rule that we had before in the Masechta, V'chom Misa, Murava Torah Sam, Ein Ela Chenek. Whenever the Torah says Misa, without specifying which one, it means chenek. Well, the Gemara says, how do you know that make means to wound him? Ema ad kotel le nikdel. Maybe he's chayiv misa only if he actually kills his father or mother. In other words, because often the word yake, the word yake and make and whatever often means to kill. So how do we know? Maybe make over the ima over here means that he kills him. The answer is, what's the logic? You're going to think that if he kills a regular person, he's going to get hereg, but if he kills his father or mother, he should be chayv chenek, which is a lesser punishment. It's not logical. So therefore, it must be that the pasuk has to be talking about where he's wounding them rather than killing them. So for wounding a regular person, he'd only be chayv mamon, but for wounding his parents, he'd be chayv misa. The Gemara says, okay, that works out according to the Chachamim, who said that chenek is the more lenient punishment. You're right, you can't very well give him a more lenient punishment for killing his parents than for killing anybody else. El Amando Amach Chenek Chomer, but according to Reb Shimon, that chenek is more stringent than hereg, Ma'ikol Meimer, then what are you going to say? Maybe Taka, for killing anybody else, he's Chayiv Hereg, which according to Reb Shimon is the least serious punishment. And then for killing his parents, he'd be upgraded from hereg to chenek. So, according to Reb Shimon, how would we know that if he injures his father or mother, that he's chayiv misa? So, no. Rather, we're going to learn as follows. The pasuk says a person who strikes another person and that other person dies, mois yumos, and he's put to death. Ochtiv, and you have a different pasuk. Or he struck him with his hand out of hatred, and the other person died. So when you're talking about killing, then it actually says the word dying. So shmamina kol hecha v'ikar kol stam. So therefore, we learn from that that any place where it says just hitting without the word, without any word about killing, then it means lav misa, who it means the other person didn't die. It means there was just an injury, and therefore, by other people, then there's no misa in it. But now by parents, since it's maka of a v'imoy, and then mois yumos, so it means even he didn't kill them, he only wounded them. Okay. So now we just said that there are two psukim, maka ish v'meis mois yumos, and over eva hi ko v'yadai. So why taka do we need two psukim for that? Before we get back to the parents, first let's understand why we need those two psukim anyway. The itzrich l'michtav maka ish, the itzrich l'michtav kol maka nefesh. We need different psukim that use the words maka ish and says v'meis. And also the pasuk kol makei nefesh, where he strikes somebody and kills him, and we need both those psukim to tell us what the true meaning of makei is. Ikos rachmona makei ish v'meis. If it only said he strikes a person and he dies, have aminu, then you would say ish. Only if he kills a man, the bar mitzvah, who's chayev in mitzvahs, ein, then yes, he's chayev mitzvah, cotton loy, but not necessarily. If he kills a cotton, would he not be chayev mitzvah? Because after all, it says makei ish. Therefore the pasuk instead says kol makei nefesh, which means that he strikes and kills any soul. So it includes a cotton as well. Tosfos, by the way, brings a different gears. The word is not the second pasuk that the Gemara is bringing is not as we have in the Gemara in front of us kol makei nefesh, but rather a different pasuk v'ish ki yakeh kol nefesh, because the pasuk that we have in front of us in the Gemara kol makei nefesh, Tosfos points out the Gemara elsewhere uses to learn a different din. Or actually the other way around, because ish kiyaka kol nefesh is where the Gemara elsewhere learns that it means kol nefesh, meaning even the tiniest nefesh, even a newborn baby. Tosfos also brings, there was a girsa who wanted that in some girsos, they wanted to say, maybe it doesn't include a woman, because she's not as much chayiv in mitzvahs, but in any case, the point is that because it says ish, you would think it's only a man, therefore it has to say kol make nefesh, or according to Tosfos, v'ish ki yaka kol nefesh. So therefore, that makes it clear that it means even children. The kosher rachmana kol make nefesh, but if it said anybody who strikes a soul, hava min afilu nefalim, after the Ben Shemona, then you would think it means even a miscarried baby. Or even a baby who was born during the eighth month, where in general, throughout Shas, we assume that a premature baby like that is not going to be able to survive. If it only said kol makei nefesh, then you would think that it means that. So therefore, you also need the pasuk makei ish in order to tell us that it means only when he's striking and killing somebody who was actually born and is viable. Tosfos distinguishes, by the way, if he accidentally hit a pregnant woman, we've learned before that he'd be chayev to pay. So you could say maybe, for example, there'd be a difference whether he intended to hit the babies or whether he just accidentally hit them. Or again, maybe you could say there's a difference between before and after the baby is born. Rashi on the pasuk, by the way, in Parshas Mishpatim. When you have this pasuk maka ish v'meis, Rashi points out over there slightly differently than our Gemara. First he points out what we say over here in our Gemara, that you would have thought if it says Maka Ish Vameis, then you have a different pasuk. The Ish Kiyaka Kol Nefesh Adam. So from one pasuk, you would think only if he strikes a man, and the other one you'd think only if a man strikes. How do we know that? How do we know that if a woman does, for example, that she's chayev? So Rashi explains over there, and it brings from Mechilta beyond our Gemara that there are several different pasukim, and from each of them we learn different details in that regard. In any case, so you have these various psukim that show it. So by putting all these psukim together, though, the point is that we see that the word make by itself doesn't necessarily mean killing, only when it says make in connection with vames. So therefore, going back to the parents, when it says make, when it says make over v'ima, most yomos, then it means just he strikes them, even without killing them, then he's chayiv misa. And therefore, and we're saying chenek, and even according to Reb Shimon, that will work, because even though he holds that chenek is more severe than hereg, so according to him, the vote would be that a person kills anybody else and he's chayiv hereg. If he only wounds his parents, he's chayiv chenek, which is more stringent. According to the chum, it would be the other way around. If he kills somebody else, hereg, and if he strikes his parents, then he gets the lesser punishment of chenek. Okay. So therefore, it's three chisim, so we need the psukim. All right, the Gemara asks, "V'ema afagav dolei obed bechavura." So maybe if you're going to tell me that when he strikes his parents, he's chayiv misa. So maybe it means even if he hits them without wounding them, alomatznan. Then why do we learn? Why do we learn in the next Mishnah? Hamaka over v'ima in chayiv achi yasve and chavura. He's chayiv only if he makes a wound or a bruise on them. So why? Make just means he hits them. Stam. The answer is here we have a different pasuk. Omakra make odem or make behema. The pasuk mentions that a person hits an animal, hits a person, or he hits an animal. So we can learn from that that there's a comparison. The expression in the pasuk is make behema yishalmena. A person strikes an animal that he pays for it. Or make odem yumos, and a person who strikes another person is chayiv misa. So we learn from that. Now, what do we mean? A person strikes another person. We just established that when it says make without misa, it doesn't mean that he killed him. It just means that he wounded him. So there we're talking about his striking his parents. So make behema d'ovid b'chabura. Now, with an animal, he would be chayiv only if he actually injured it with his hitting it. And we know that d'chtib nefesh, because in those psukim at the end of Parashas Emor, it mentions it has the expression make nefesh behema. So that means that he struck its soul, and that means that he took some chayus away from it by wounding it. Af make an adam ad ovid chabura, the same way with striking a person. When is he going to be chayiv misa for striking a person, which is the person in question as his parents, is only going to be if he caused a wound. So we're going to learn that from that comparison with hitting an animal. Okay, the Gemara says maski for Rabbi Yirmiya. So Rabbi Yirmiya says in that case, hikhisha ba'avonim. So what are you telling me? Only if a person injures an animal by actually hitting and wounding it. What about, for example, if he weakened it with stones? Let's say, for example, he piled stones on the animal's back. And then weakened it with that. Now Tosfos points out that if the animal was only temporarily unable to work because of that, and then afterwards it recovers soon enough, then you don't necessarily have to pay for that. That kind of thing is called sheves. Now we know if one person injures another and prevents him for a while that other person can't work, then one of the five payments is called sheves, that he pays for the time that he had to take off work. We don't have sheves when it comes to animals, so Tosfos points out that if he only temporarily weakened the animal, then he wouldn't be paying for that, because then it's only sheves. On the other hand, so what we're talking about over here with hishavavonim would mean where now it's permanently weakened. There is some discussion about that among the poskim. The Rosh talks about that, for example, a person rented an animal and then it was caused a temporary injury. So then, based on what Tosfos is saying over here, it means he'd be potter. On the other hand, that yesh omnim, that such a thing would be considered nezek. It's not going to take off much of the value of the animal, but nevertheless, so in Shulchan Aruch it brings both opinions that he rented an animal and he was pesheya and something. That it was injured, and later on it's going to recover. So based on Tosfos, we're saying that it's sheves, and you don't pay sheves. We're going to animals, but yesh omrim that you do. So the Rambam goes on to say that for Rishon Ikur, that the first opinion is the Ikur like Tosfos, and therefore he'd be Potter. Anyway, the point is that the Rav Yirmi is asking, but if it was a permanent kachash, if he loaded it up with stones to the point where now it's permanently injured, but there's no actual bruise or wound. Hachinami delem chayev. Are you going to tell me it wouldn't be chayev? Why not? There's nezek involved over here. So therefore, so you see that with an animal, it doesn't necessarily have to be that he causes an actual wound or bruise. So the Gemara says, fine. Rather we're going to learn as follows. In Eina Inyan, the Nefesh Behema, when it says the word Nefesh in connection with an animal, the Ishkiyata called Nefesh Behema, or maka nefesh behema yishalmena. Rather, when the pasuk says you don't need the word nefesh in connection with an animal, in a nefesh behema, since you don't need it as far as the nefesh of an animal, daho inami chishabavonim chayev. Because again, like we said, it doesn't just require that he bruised or wounded it. It would include when he weakened it with a heavy load like that, and he's still chayev to pay tneu inim lenefesh adam. Then apply it to nefesh adam, and from that you're going to learn that only if he injures or wounds his father or his mother. Is he chayiv nisa, but not if he just hits them without that? All right, the Gemara says, Ela hekesh alamali. Well, we just said that there is a hekesh between a person and an animal, though. Then what are we using the hekesh for? And the answer is, v'chidatanya dvei chizkiya. We use it for what chizkiya teaches in a braisa, which we learned earlier in our Masechta, that the same way as when it comes to injuring an animal, he's chayiv, whether it was b'shoigig or b'mezid, because adam mu'ud lo'olam, the same way we learned from that when a person injures a person and he's chayiv misa, then it doesn't matter whether it was mezid and he's actually chayiv misa, or whether it was b'shoigig, when he's not chayiv misa, and from that we learn the concept of kom le b'didab amine. So therefore we learn from that even if he kills somebody b'shoigig, then he'd still be potter from paying on the grounds of kom le b'didab amine. So in other words, now we're saying, Tosfos explains earlier when we learned this a few dafim ago, Tosfos explained that it means, in other words, according to Tanan Vechizkiya, in effect, we're saying the Pasuk is telling us two different dinim. Number one, where he injures an animal, where he's chayev for paying, and the comparison is that then he's chayev to pay no matter what. The same way, when he's maka odem, the same way when he kills a person, whether b'shoigig or b'mezid, either way he's potter from paying. The question is, the Gemara says, well, that works out according to the opinion that agrees with Tanad Vechizkiya. You have a machlokas in Masechtik Subas where Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish disagree whether to accept this limud of Tanad Vechizkiya or not. So according to Rish Lakish, then the fine. Then that's what we're saying. We have the word nefesh by an animal, which we're actually applying to a person instead, and saying that only if he wounds or injures his parent, only if he wounds or bruises his parents, is he chayev misa, but not otherwise. And then on the other hand, we have the hekesh to teach us tonad vechizkiya about komle b'didabamine, but el lamanda less like tonad vechizkiya, but according to Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with that limud and holds that in fact if he killed b'shoigig, he is chayev to pay. Hekesh alamali, then according to Rabbi Yochanan, what are we doing with the hekesh? And the answer is, Rabbi Yochanan would use it to teach us, he would say, just like if a person injures somebody else's animal in order to heal it. For example, let's say he punctures it in order to draw blood, where the animal has high blood pressure or something, and you need to draw blood in order to cure it. He's not hired to pay for the animal, obviously, in that case. He's doing it for refuah. Af maka adam lerefuah potter, the same way if he injures a person, namely his parents, it for refuah, for example, to draw blood from them when it's necessary, potter, then he'd be potter. Which in fact this is a question that the Chachamim asked. Ben Maush Yakis Dam La'aviv. Is a son allowed to do bloodletting for his father? On the one hand, he's causing the father to bleed, which is also, as we're saying over here. On the other hand, he's doing it for refuah. So Rav Masna Omar, Rav Masna says yes, he should be allowed to. After all, the pasuk says v'ahakta l'recha kamaycha. So don't do to somebody else what you wouldn't want do for yourself. So meaning, in other words, in this case, you would want this done for yourself when you need the bloodletting for refuah. So the same way, a son should be able to do it for his father. Reb Dimi Bachinina Omar, Maka Odom, Maka Behema, and Reb Dimi Bachinina says that we can learn that it's potter from what we just said, from the hekesh between a person and animal. Maka Odom, Maka Behema, Ma Maka Behema, Lord, four potter, just like if he injures an animal and lets blood from it, four to four. Then he's potter off Maka Odom, Lord, four potter, the same way if he does it four to four to his father. So both of them agree that he's, both of them agree that he's potter, but on different grounds, whether we learn from Vahafta Berecha Kamecha, or whether we learn from that Hekesh. Well, on the other hand, the Gemara continues, Rav, or Ahagoris Abach says, Rav Papa, Loishovik Libre, Lamishka Leisilva. He would not allow his son to take out a splinter from him, because you take out a splinter, it can cause bleeding. Now, does that mean that Rav or a Papa is actually arguing with the point that we said before? So you have a machlokas rishonim when we're talking about, when we talk about over here, we just said, for example, a son letting blood for his father, are we saying that it's actually author, or are we saying that no, just Rav Papa wanted to be machmir? So there's in fact the machlokas we showing him about that. The Rambam and several other we showing him learn that there's no machlokas over here. We did say he's potter. However, a Rav or a Papa is concerned that maybe he might accidentally take out blood. So therefore, they said they'd prefer that somebody else do it. So the Rambam, for example, paskins that it's mutter lachatchili. You shouldn't do it, but nevertheless, it is mutter. The Beis Yosef, on the other hand, understands the Rif and the Rosh to say that there is in fact a machlokas where we just said there were amaro who said that it is mutter for refuah, and they say that no, even for refuah, it would be osur. So therefore, they wouldn't allow it. Similarly, Ma'abre de Ravina would not allow his son to open up a burn to get out the pus for the same reason, because he may cause him to bleed. So again, does that mean that they hold it's actually osur, or are they just saying l'hatchila it shouldn't in case he causes bleeding where otherwise it wasn't necessary? So the expression in the Gemara, Dilma Chovil, because he might accidentally wound him, Mahabalei Shigas Isser, and it comes out that he's being over b'shogeg on Maka over b'imay. So the question is basically, are they on those grounds, they're arguing on the heter entirely, or are they saying it is mutter, but it's still better not? So the Gemara asks, Yichochi, Achonami, well, in that case, if you're saying that you have to be careful, because it might cause an Issa B'shogeg, why shouldn't it be also only for his son? It should be also for anybody. Because after all, you're not allowed to wound another Yid, so he might be over on a lav. And the answer is that's just that. Acher shigas lav. If another person makes a mistake and does more bleeding than necessary, maximum he's over on a lav. Because the pasuk is lo yosef. It says when a person is chayv malchus, basin should not add extra malchus. From that we learn that you're not allowed to hit another or wound another yid unnecessarily. But even if the person does accidentally cause that, maximum he's over on a lav. But with his son, Shigas Chenek, then you have the concern that he might be over on something which is Chayev Chenek. So fine, he's doing it for Shogeg. He's not actually going to be Chayev Chenek, but nevertheless, it's still a more severe Isser, and therefore, so again, therefore Rav or a Papa and Ma'abre de Ravina are not going to allow it. So again, does that mean that they're saying it really is osur, as the Beis Yosef learns, or does it mean that just l'hatchila they shouldn't do it? If the nafkamina would basically be if there's nobody else available, or it's more difficult to get another person. So for example, the Rambam and the Ramban, and this is how the Ramah learns it, is that if there's no, somebody else who could do it, then better that somebody else should do it. But if not, then it would be mutter. Whereas the Beis Yosef learns that no, it would be also altogether, even if there's nobody else. The Bach wants to say that even the Rif and the Rosh would say that it's mutter where there's nobody else. So he says, fine, the halacha, it may be like the Beis Yosef that it's also altogether, but nevertheless, maybe even when there's absolutely nobody else, then it would be mutter. So different posts from Achronim talk about it as well. Shlomo Zalman in particular has a question about that. For example, about there's a doctor allowed to give shots to his parents, and he gives reasons. He gives a number of reasons to be matter. He would say on the face of it, we should be machmer like the Beis Yosef. But after all, you do have the psak of the Rambam and the Ramah that it's only a chum rabalma, and he was going to be doing it for free, and anybody else is going to charge, then that's a valid reason to consider as if there's nobody else. And he goes on and gives different svaras for it also. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, with this point about wounding when it's also when it's mostly, and continue with this point about Maka Ovavim.
Yeshikayach.